This is The Flip Side of the Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.
And I'm David Hyde. And according to new research, babies just over 1 year old prefer people who are just or fair, but only when it seems to benefit them or other people with their same ethnicity. So what does that mean? Jessica Somerville is the lead researcher of a study that explores how babies perceive justice. Somerville is a professor of psychology at the UW. And the babies she studied were just around 15 months old. That means walking age, probably not talking. So how did she figure out what they think about basic fairness?
There's different ways to do it. One of the methods that we've used in previous work is looking at infants' visual attention, because we know that infants and toddlers and adults show enhanced visual attention, meaning they look longer to things that are unusual or unexpected. So using that method, we've shown that babies will look longer to unfair versus fair outcomes. For example, if someone gives one person three crackers, another person one cracker, they find that outcome more surprising or unexpected than if someone gives an equal allotment to each person.
So they're just puzzling over this, going,
right,
that doesn't seem right.
Seems unusual or unexpected. It doesn't fit their expectations, I guess we would say.
And in this study, you also found that babies preferred one researcher or one subject in the study over another. How did it work out?
Yeah, so what we did in the current study is we took the same sort of approach of initially showing babies two people, one person who distributed toys fairly, meaning they gave two to one recipient, two to another recipient, another person who distributed toys unfairly. They gave three to one person and one to another person. And then what we wanted to know was we wanted to know whether infants would show a preference for one of those two people in their kind of affiliation or play behavior. So after infants saw those interactions, we gave them test trials in the experiment where essentially they were allowed to pick between the fair and the unfair person. And we very kind of carefully controlled what happened during that test part. So the fair and the unfair person were actually doing exactly the same thing. So by showing that babies had a preference, a systematic preference for the fair person, we know that it must be based on sort of the prior information about their fair versus unfair behavior, as opposed to what they were doing in the moment that infants chose them.
And beyond that, so basically these babies are going, I prefer somebody who's just, who equitably distributes these toys.
Right.
Beyond that, you also looked at the question of ethnicity. How did you get at that?
We looked at ethnicity in a couple of different ways. One of the ways that we did it was by manipulating the race or ethnicity of the person distributing the toys. So for half of the babies, they saw a white or Caucasian person distributing the toys, and for half the babies, they saw an Asian person distributing the toys. The other way that we looked at race or ethnicity is in terms of the identity of the recipient. So for half of the babies, they saw that when the unfair person gave toys, gave more to one person versus the other, the person that they were giving more to was the white or Caucasian person. Mm-hmm. For the other half of babies, what they saw was that when the unfair person was giving more to one person, it was the Asian person, not the Caucasian person.
And how did, these were white babies in the studies, right, I understand it. How did the white babies deal with that injustice of distribution when it came to ethnicity?
Right. So the interesting thing is that the babies in our sample appear to be more tolerant of the injustice or unfairness when they see that the benefit goes to the Caucasian recipient. So when the unfair person gives more to the Caucasian person over the Asian person, they're more likely to choose that person than when the unfair person gives more to the Asian recipient over the Caucasian person.
So this is just kind of crazy, counterintuitive in terms of how we think the world works in a lot of ways. Does it mean babies are bigots?
No, I don't think so. I think what it does tell us is that infants, first of all, are starting to perhaps make distinctions along social group lines. So that's something that we readily do as adults. And of course, we use all kinds of different cues to do that, right? So we might use race or ethnicity, but we use things like language. We can make these distinctions on really minimal or basic cues, like who's on our soccer team, who's on another soccer team. So first of all, I think it suggests that babies are making those types of distinctions and that they're using race or ethnicity as a cue to do that. Beyond that, I think what our findings might be showing is not so much that infants have a dislike of people who are unfamiliar or novel, but more that they are have a like or an affiliation for people who are more familiar or more similar.
Mm. Well, let me just press you on that, though. I mean, if an adult made hiring decisions based on ethnicity, we would see a serious bias against other ethnicities if they favored their own ethnicity. Why wouldn't you draw the same conclusions if you see it in an infant?
Yeah, it's sort of intuitive to think that the processes of favoring people who are like you and disliking people who are not like you go hand in hand. But at least in principle, they could be dissociable, right? Mm. So liking someone who is like you doesn't necessarily mean you dislike someone who is not like you.
I guess we are talking about babies who can't yet talk
too.
Would there be a difference, do you think, if you had done this research in a less predominantly white city like Seattle and a place that was more multicultural? I mean, were you able to control for that?
Yeah, we weren't able to control for that. But my intuition is, yes, that it would make a difference if we did it in a more diverse city. We think that these findings have a lot to do with familiarity or degree of exposure. So we would expect then that if we were did these same studies in a more diverse, heterogeneous city, that you might get different findings. Yeah.
What about nature versus nurture? It's always a tough question. But in this case, it seems like you're getting further and further back towards the nature scale.
Yeah, right.
Because a 15-month-old baby hasn't had that many experiences with bias, or have they?
Yeah, that's a really good point. So we think that what our findings do show is that infants might be sort of predisposed to make social group distinctions. But I don't think that our findings necessarily show that particular cues or pieces of information are prioritized. So if I had to make a guess, I would think that it's probably the case that infants use information from their environment to decide how to divide the world up into social groups. So what that might mean is, going back to the kind of familiarity exposure type of thing, is that if babies are growing up in a very diverse kind of neighborhood or city, then they might not see race or ethnicity as a relevant cue for making these social group distinctions. But if they're growing up in a more sort of homogenous type of environment, then they might use that as a cue.
UW psychology professor Jessica Somerville is with us. She's the lead researcher of a new study that finds ethnic bias in perceptions of fairness in 15-month-old babies. Let's take this research one step further. What do you see as the main message that the general public can take away from this research and other similar kinds of studies that, that point to sort of policy or actions that might make us a better society?
Right. So I think what our findings suggest is that it's probably, you know, I think a layperson might think that in terms of making social group types of distinctions, starting to form these sort of biases is a fairly late occurring development. And so it may be the case that currently parents and policymakers are thinking about things like when their child goes to preschool or when they enter kindergarten or elementary school, that they would be concerned about diversity. But I think what our findings suggest is that we should be concerned a lot earlier. Because to the extent that infants are picking up on these cues, and to the extent that we want to promote diversity and inclusion, it suggests that we should be thinking about the environments that our children are situated in considerably earlier than we have previously.
So the implication is that if a baby is exposed to diversity, they're going to see a diverse group of people as a part of their in-group and favor that group, which is basically everybody.
Right, exactly.
Jessica Somerville is a professor of psychology at the University of Washington. It's The Record from KUOW. I'm David Hyde.